ॐ भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 8, called the Narayana Kavacha Shield. This is text number 20. Please repeat. Mam Keshavo Gadaya Pratar Avyad Govinda Asangavam Attavenu Narayana Prahna Udatta Shaktir Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani Mam Keshavo Gadaya Prataravyad Govinda Sangavamatavenu Narayana Prana Udatta Shaktir Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani Mam Keshavo Gadaya Prataravya Govinda Asangavamattavenu Narayana Prana Udatta Shakti Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani Mam Keshavo Gadaya Prataravyat Govinda Asangavamattavenu Narayana Prana Udatta Shaktir Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani Please chant. Ladies. Mam Keshavo Gadaya Prataravya Govindama Sangavamattavenu Narayana Prana Udatta Shakti Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani Mam Keshavo Gadaya Prataravya Govindama Sangamamattavenu Narayana Prana Udatta Shakti Abhyandine Vishnurarendra Pani. Mam, me, Keshava, Lord Keshava, Gadaya, by his club, Prata, in the morning hours, Avyat, may he protect, Govinda, Lord Govinda, Asangavam, during the second part of the day, Attavenu, holding his flute, Narayana, Lord Narayana with four hands, Prana, during the third part of the day, Udatta Shakti, controlling different types of potencies, Madhyam Dine, during the fourth part of the day, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Arindrapani, bearing the disc in his hand to kill the enemies. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. And may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayana, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Purport. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, day and night are each divided into 30 ghatikas, 24 minutes, instead of 12 hours. Generally, each day and each night is divided into six parts consisting of five ghatikas. In each of these six portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protection according to different names. Lord Keshava, the proprietor of the holy place of Mathura, is the Lord of the first portion of the day, and Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavana, is the master of the second portion. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shilaka Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Larita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. So here in this verse, we begin an address to the various names of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. As I mentioned a couple days ago, in the first section of the Narayana Kavacha, we hear repeated addresses for protection from the Lord's different avatars, his different incarnations. So Nrsingadev and Vamanadev and Kurma is there, and Varaha, and so on. And yesterday, Buddha and Kalki and Lord Vyasadeva. In the second section of the remainder of these prayers, then we turn to asking the Lord for protection by calling upon his different names, like Govinda, Madhusudana, Narayana, and so on. And then in the final part of the Narayana Kavacha, we turn to asking protection from the associates and paraphernalia associated with the Lord, namely his shankha, his conchal, his chakra, his disc, his carrier, Garuda, and others like that. Okay. Also, the Kavacha turns from asking for protection of different elements of our body, our physical body and our subtle body, to now asking protection in different times of the day. And then finally, it'll turn to asking protections in different directions, wherever we might be at. Right? So it's sort of a very complete call for protection from the Lord. But what really stood out in reading this verse is these words here, Govinda Atta Venu, that we're asking for protection from the Lord in so many different forms and so many different names that we've read so far. He's the carrier of the bow, and he's the killer of Hiranyakashipu, and he destroys ignorance by his teachings. And here also, Lord Vishnu carrying a disc to kill his enemies. But when the reference to Lord Krishna, to Govinda, comes in this verse, then the way he's described is in a very different way. Right? He's described as Atavenu, he who holds a flute. He who holds a flute. And this is in fact something quite wonderful, quite amazing about Krishna. Right? That whereas in each one of the other addresses, practically all of them, when we call upon the Lord, then we describe some function that the Lord is performing, either in the maintenance of the world, or in the killing of demons, or in carrying some kind of weapon. Lord Vishnu, for example, has four arms, and he's carrying the disc and the club and the conch shell and so on. Later on also, the Lord will be described, Lord Madhusudana, who carries a bow, very fearful for the demons. But the description of Krishna is one who carries a flute, Atavenu. And in fact, it shows exactly why we consider Krishna to be Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Because he carries a flute. Now, let's back up a little bit in order to get to this point of Krishna playing a flute and ask a very fundamental question, a question that's quite basic in some ways and quite difficult in others, namely, who is God? If we were to ask this question of someone on the street, we go out and say, sir, excuse me, who's God? We might get a range of different kinds of answers. First, someone might say, I feel God's presence in nature. The beauty of the sun, the power of the sun, the order of creation, how things rise and set at just the right time, the seasons change at just the right way, the beauty, the coolness of the moon, the beauty of the flowers. If you go into the mountains, right, there's a real presence of God there. And I feel God here. God is nature. Nature is God. And of course, they're right. The Lord's presence can be felt within the creation itself. Right? He says, Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashi suryayo. I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun and the moon. But you talk to someone else and they might say, the Lord is not just nature. He's actually beyond nature. He's the foundation of nature itself. He's the one being, that presence, that power which holds everything together, which gives its reality, which is the foundation of existence. He is one without a second. Ekam advitiyam. And I have realized that I too am part of that ultimate reality. And of course they're right. The Lord is everything that exists. The Lord is the most powerful thing in creation. The Lord is the foundation of existence itself. But then you talk to someone else and they might say, actually, God is the creator of all of this. He's the master, the father, the Lord, the supreme controller of everything. And so you ask for a definition. Very often you'll get a set of omnis from people. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnibenevolent. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful, all-beautiful, all-wealthy. And just by his power, his energy, he's creating everything in this world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork, the Bible says. It's true. They're right. The Lord is the creator of this whole world. He's Srishtikarta, the creator of the universe. But according to the philosophy of Vaishnavism, yes, that's all true. Of course it's true. But God, meaning the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, is so much more than that. He is all of that and so much more. If we had to find one concept, one idea that encapsulates what it is that's the function of God, the role of the Supreme Lord, then that concept has been called Leela. What does Krishna do? What does God do? Ultimately, in his fullness, God an sich, the famous German philosopher, God in himself, right? When he's not busy with us, when he's not busy with the work of the world, what does he do? Who is he in himself, in his own nature? And the answer is, he plays. Right? What does God do with his time? He plays. This is Leela. He plays. This is one of the most profound concepts in the history of religions. You look at so many different religions of the world, and they all are approaching God in some way or another. They're all describing him in so many wonderful ways. But this concept of Leela, as far as I can tell, is something that's unique. Something really amazing, if you think about it. The fact that the Supreme Lord, the creator of this entire universe, the one who has everything at his disposal, would choose to spend his time playing, enjoying, doing his pastimes with others, his devotees. What a profound concept. And if you think about it, how else could you define God? If we had everything in this creation, if we had everything at our disposal, if we were the most powerful and the most beautiful and the most intelligent, what would we do with our time? Right? Sometimes we might think, right, that when we call the Supreme Lord Jagatkarta, the creator of this universe, right, then we're doing him a big favor. Right? Somehow, Krishna is very impressed that we're, you know, glorifying him in this way. Just like in India, they're singing this aarti, right? Om Jai Jagadisha Hare, Swami Jai Jagadisha Hare. Swami, you're the creator of this world, you're the master of creation, etc. We think we're doing Krishna a favor by calling him all of these things. But for Krishna, this is the least of his concerns, right? The least of his worries. According to the Vaishnava conception, right? The Lord is capable of delegating all of these tasks. Yes, I have to pour water on this creation. So let's give it to Indra. Oh, and the fires that need to be burned, why don't we give them to Agni? And Surya, you take care of lighting in the day and the night and turning this wheel of time. You take care of that. And the creation of this world, I give it to Lord Brahma. Just like in the just before the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam. Right, Lord Brahma, he comes out from the lotus and he's looking all around. He doesn't know where he's at, what he's doing. He's very confused. And so we know the story. He goes down to the lotus, looks for his origin. He cannot find it. He comes back up. He hears the words tapa, right? Perform austerities. He does that. He follows the instruction. Of course, what choice does he have in that situation? You receive one instruction, you take it. Yes, let me perform austerities. He performs austerities for so many celestial years. And then, someone turns the lights on. Wow. All of a sudden he sees the Lord. He sees him with all of his energies, all his shaktis, his whole abode, his beautiful form is all there. And he offers some prayers, he talks to the Lord. But before this happens, you know what Krishna does? You know what Lord Narayana does? He comes up and he shakes Brahma's hand. And he tells him, Bhadram te, good luck to you. Good luck to you. Prabhupada has a beautiful translation, right? He says, good luck to you. from one creator to another. I know this is a difficult task. So good luck to you. You have my blessings. Right? Krishna gives his shakti and he says, do it. I've got other things to do. Better things to take care of. Creation, maintenance, destruction, the sun, the moon, the wind and fire, all of that, the Upanishads say, by fear of the Lord, the sun is turning. By fear of the Lord, the wind is blowing. Out of fear of the Lord, the fire burns. Right? Everything is working according to the Lord's desire. And then Krishna, what does he do? What can he take his time for doing? The answer is here in this verse. Atavenu. Right? He's playing his flute. He goes and says, this is my task. Right? I'm playing my flute. Sometimes people say, you know, but this doesn't make any sense. Right? God should be inconceivable. That's the nature of God. Right? And you're saying he's just a little blue boy who plays a flute? But God should be inconceivable. He should be the greatest. But the question is, what is really inconceivable? What is more inconceivable? Think about it. That the most powerful person in this world is standing there with a sword and a club controlling everyone? Is that inconceivable? Or that he's some abstract energy that's pervading through creation? Is that inconceivable? Or is it inconceivable that that person who pervades everything, who controls everything, we find him in the form of a little blue boy who plays a flute? That is truly inconceivable. It's something we cannot wrap our heads around. In fact, not just us, but even Indra and Brahma cannot wrap their heads around this idea. Even Indra becomes confused and he thinks, this little blue boy who plays a flute, who is he? Right? Who does he think he is? I'm Indra, the controller of this whole heavenly world. I control the wind and the rain. I'll show him who he is. And then he realizes, sorry, I was confused. Lord Brahma thinks, can this really be God? Here he is, you know, exchanging food that's been eaten by others. Uchishta, something we don't accept even. A matter of cleanliness. And he's taking this from other people's mouths? No, this can't be God. Let me check. Right? And then he's bewildered. He sees all of these forms of Lord Vishnu. He realizes, I'm dealing with someone. Right? Of course, Krishna is pervading everything. Yes. But what's more inconceivable is that he is just a small child whose in primary concern is to enjoy with his devotees. That's what's really achintya. And that boy can control everything. He is beyond our mental capacity to understand. This is achintya, or that which is inconceivable. The Lord's achintya shakti, inconceivable power. So, the idea of God is actually a very, very elevated idea. It's not something cheap. It's not something we should take for granted. Right? It's a very powerful concept, a very powerful idea that we've been given. The Lord as Lila Purushottama, as Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the one who's the complete repository of all wonderful relationships and emotions in relation to his devotees. It's a very rare thing to have this kind of realization. Sometimes the Mayavadis, they have this great sense of pride. Right? That, all of you are just, you know, emotional. You need God in some physical form in order to focus your mind. Right? Because you can't focus your mind on something abstract. So you're weak. This is why you need to physical form of God. You need to imagine God in these different ways. But us, you know, we're really advanced in our conception. We can think of God as the one, as the abstract, as the one without a second. But actually, if you look around the world, the concept of impersonalism is completely common. It's so pedestrian. impersonalism. That practically it's the default conception in this material world. If you look at any philosophy in this world, whether it's Western or Eastern, modern or ancient, if they don't work very, very hard to avoid the plague of impersonalism, they become impersonalistic. Practically every philosophy you talk about is some version or some shade of impersonalism. Some are radically impersonalist, some are halfway impersonalist, some are a little bit tinged with impersonalism. But that's the default condition in this material world. Because actually the fact of the matter is that's our basic problem. This is why we're here in the material world, is because of impersonalism. So it's the default conception. It's not something amazing, something very sophisticated. Oh, the Buddhists have some great idea, right? God is not being, he is not not being. They say he is interbeing. Oh, wow, amazing, right? God is interbeing. But this type of idea, right? God is confusing, I can't understand him, he's everywhere. This type of thing is very, very common. It's the default conception. Actually, what's rare in this world is this pure idea that Krishna is a person. Right? God is a person. We find that Srila Jiva Goswami Nisandarbhas, he spends an entire Sandarbha, right, Bhagavad Sandarbha, just establishing this one point over and over and over and over again, that God is a person, that God is a person, and that everything associated with him is spiritual. There's nothing material about him. His form is not material. His clothing is not material. His ornaments are not material. His associates are not material. His beauty is not material. His abode is not material. He goes through every single thing and he proves the same point. And by the end of it, you're thinking, okay, I understand, I understand, I get the point. Right? Then why again and again? Because it's such a difficult thing to hold on to. You know? Because he realizes that everywhere you go in the world, right, this is the problem. There's no way you can emphasize it enough, basically. That everything associated with the Lord is spiritual, and everything associated with him is personal. These two things he keeps emphasizing. That it's spiritual, and it's of his own nature. Not something separate from him, but part of him. It's aprakrita and swabhavika, these two things. So this is Krishna, right? Atavenu, the player of the flute. A very, very profound idea. And practically even in this large pantheon of different gods and goddesses, deities of the world, whether you go to ancient Greece or ancient Rome or ancient India, Krishna is the only one. He's the only one who's always playing and who's always enjoying. Lila Purushottam. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments, any points of elaboration that anyone has. Yes, Prabhu.
So I was just wondering that similarly when, like you, especially you preach or some devotees in some sphere of areas where very intellectual people have their conception of God or religion, and here we are also proposing our views, still they have a very strong faith in whatever they believe. Just as this prayer right there, many different aspects of God, still, even the demigods, they mention Atavenu. They still, even knowing that, to some level, they remain or they ask for material things. So my question will be, what will be that element that it makes it so strong that appears to be higher than the understanding that made them to remain in that position?
Yeah. I can say my own experience is that their faith is not very strong. In any view or perspective, even in their own view, their faith is not very strong. What's very strong is the false ego, right, is their pride. That this is my view. And therefore I have to defend it to the ends of the earth. Right? I have to defend it till the day I die because it's my view. But you'll see that halfway through their life they'll change their view. And then they'll defend that view to the ends of the earth. Right? So the point is, this is exactly what's missing, is this element of Shraddha or faith. Right? It's conviction, but that conviction is not born of faith. It's born of pride. Right? Conviction in my own ideas, in my own intent. Right? That I'm kartaham iti manyate. I'm the doer. I'm the controller here. Right? And this is why the conception of God being a person is so difficult to understand. It's so difficult to appreciate. Right? It's because, see, as long as God is not a person, you can still get away with thinking that I'm the controller. You can still get away with that. Even if God is all pervading. Yes, He's present everywhere. But I'm the real, boss around here. But as soon as God becomes a person, then there's no choice, you see. Then there's no choice. You have to bow down. This is why Krishna says in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That one who realizes Aham sarvasya prabhavo, that I am the master and creator of this universe, that everything emanates from me. Iti matva bhajante mam. If you understand this, you have to worship me. There's no choice, right? Just like we were talking the other day. Ito nrsingha parato nrsingho, yato yato yami tato nrsingho. Bahir nrsingho hiday. Lord Nrsingadev is there, Lord Nrsingadev is here. Lord Nrsingadev is wherever I go, He is there. He's in my heart, He's also outside. So where are you going to escape? Right? There's no choice but to surrender. Of course you can do it willingly or you can be forced to do it. But this is why the conception of God as a person is such a frightening conception for so many people. Because it's the one idea that will rob us of our sense of being the controller. It'll take that away from us. And that's exactly what we don't want to lose, right? That's the whole point. We're here. Why? It's because we want to act as the controllers. Any other questions? Okay. We have reached our time. Thank you all very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.